Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. And joining me is Billboard's deputy editor digital, Katie Atkinson. Happy holidays, Katie.
Merry Christmas, Keith.
Yay! If you can probably figure this out. We have a special holiday episode. We're going to tell you all about that in just a second. Because the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop and holidays on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
Today's show is our holiday spectacular.
Not really a holiday song.
We'll be talking about some of the newest Christmas tunes hitting the charts from the likes of Sia and Kelly Clarkson, as well as some of our own personal musical memories that involve Christmas tunes.
Plus, we've got an interview with a man who is no stranger to holiday music, Johnny Mathis.
Man, Darlene Love last year, Johnny Mathis this year.
We are working the holiday spirit here. The pop icon called us up to chat about his new box set, The Voice of Romance, the Columbia Original Album Collection. His own holiday music, which you probably have heard many, many times, what seasonal tunes he plays around the house, and more. So stick around for that later on in the show.
But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss an episode, and give us a rating or review while you're at it. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/billboardpodcasts.
So let's talk about holiday tunes.
Let's.
So actually, we're going to look at six of the season's biggest new holiday tunes that are hitting our charts.
We look to our adult contemporary airplay chart to see what were the new hits that were doing well on the radio.
And we look at this chart specifically because many adult contemporary radio stations flip their programming to holiday music during the Christmas season. So if anyone is playing Christmas songs on the radio, it's usually going to be an AC station.
My holiday station usually is a country station.
And they go to all
complete holiday with a country bent.
Do they like play Mariah Carey in there too?
Yep.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
It is interesting.
There's a whole
105.1.
I wonder if like there's any like R&B stations that do that too.
Yeah, I would imagine. But let's get started.
Okay, sorry.
How about we start with Sia's Santa's Coming For Us.
That's
and it's so dramatic, which is from her new album Every Day Is Christmas. So let's take a listen now. Singing to the spirit above, sing your heart out with all of your love.
Okay, so what do we think of Sia's new song, Santa's Coming For Us?
Right. My first thought is that it's a very threatening title.
That's what I thought, too. I'm like, good. I don't know. Should he be coming for us,
yeah,
or just maybe coming to visit?
Yeah, and coming to us rather than for us.
I thought it was it's a rather peppy song.
Yes.
It's unmistakably Sia.
Yes.
What were your initial thoughts?
I could definitely hear it playing in Target. That's what my first thought was.
Why does that immediately make you think of Target?
Because I do a lot of holiday shopping in Target, probably. It's my own personal.
Doing shopping at Target in general is kind of like a nice, warm holiday experience.
Indeed. And Keith and I were joking earlier, you definitely know what the title of this song is.
There's no mistaking.
It is repeated many, many times.
But then it sticks in your head and you don't immediately forget the name of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, next up, we've got a brand new holiday track from a pop star who released a successful holiday album just a few years ago, Kelly Clarkson. Here's a taste of her latest seasonal tune, Christmas Eve. For those who believe on Christmas Eve. Okay, so that track is a new original tune and accompanies Clarkson's holiday picture book, River Rose and the Magical Christmas, of course, inspired by her own daughter, River Rose. What do we think of this track? And wait, is her name River Rose or just River?
Yeah, River Rose.
Okay, sorry, Kelly. I should know better.
Keith.
Friend of the podcast. All right, so what do we think of this track?
We think it's good.
Okay.
I think the vocal is amazing, as is to be expected from Miss Clarkson. Got a real throwback vibe, and we were talking earlier, similar to her previous holiday song, Underneath the Tree, it has a very Wall of Sound vibe to it. Phil Spector, Darlene Love, etc.
I thought, I wrote, we all took notes.
We took notes for you today.
We took notes. I said, great, exclamation point. And I said, if you don't end up bopping and swaying to this track, you've got coal in your heart.
This is definitely my favorite of the popular new songs.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. Which is not really a stretch. I love Kelly Clarkson.
That damn Underneath the Tree song is just so,
it's so good.
Like the first time you hear it, you're like, man, this is like an heir to All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so hard to find new, great, catchy, fun, or just like great Christmas songs that will endure and also be like something that is like a hit that you can hear people playing or wanting to sing along.
I was going to say it helps that it's got a modern vibe, but also the throwback that it harks back. Holiday puns.
Hark the Kelly Angels sing.
To previous Christmas songs.
Okay.
All right. So moving on, our third track on the list is Josh Groban's Happy Christmas, War Is Over. Of course, a cover of the John Lennon song. It's a new bonus track on the recently released deluxe reissue of his mega-selling Noel album. So let's take a listen.
And so happy Christmas for black and for white, for yellow and red ones.
Okay, Keith, what are your thoughts? How does Josh hold up to John Lennon?
Well, you can't compare anything to John Lennon's.
I think Josh Groban would even be the first to tell you that.
I'm sure he was just like, let's not try to compare me. What I wrote was, it's appropriately somber.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, Josh's voice just envelops you because Josh's voice can sort of do anything.
Yeah.
Friend of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And also the children's choir that's on the track just sort of takes it to that new sort of angelic level, because you're like, so this is Christmas, and then suddenly the kids come in and you're like,
well, and it's a pretty faithful cover because John Lennon's version also includes a choir like that, and I also wrote that I thought my mom might have A&R'd this one, since it's Josh Groban singing a former Beatles song.
Good.
It's all her favorite things just wrapped up together.
Her favorite things,
you say? Oh, yeah. How many holiday puns can we work in?
Puns. Okay, moving on to our fourth contestant. It is Seal's Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow. This is a bonus track on the deluxe edition of his latest album, Standards. And the Standards album, by the way, is not a Christmas album. It's just a album of standards. And they happen to throw on this Christmas track on there as a bonus track. So let's take a listen.
And my dear, we're still goodbye. As long as you love me so. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Okay, Katie, how is the Seal treating you?
It's treating me very Bublé-tastic.
Oh, you think Michael Bublé.
Yes. I mean, knowing that it's from a Standards album definitely puts it in context, because it's got a very, like, crooner, Bublé, Sinatra vibe.
Yeah. I was thinking, what did I write? Faithful swingin' version of the jazzy track. And it's hard to screw up a classic like Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow. Seal certainly doesn't screw it up. It's very safe.
He does not screw it up, but this is not how I like my Seal. I prefer my Seal in a Crazy or Kiss from a Rose kind of package.
He hasn't really been like that in quite a while.
I know, but that's what I like.
He's had a lot of, I think the thing is, he's had a lot of success with his, he had a few recent albums where they were like, there was like a soul covers album and a standards album, and you kind of,
it's a blueprint for success.
You get into that weird covers land and it becomes very successful. But I think, you know, if he can still, you know, if he can still wade into the waters of covers and also
wade into the waters, seal. Sorry, not a holiday pun, just a pun.
didn't even realize that was a pun. But you know, as long as you can do a little bit of both, because I think he still does his own original stuff as well. You know, have the best of both worlds, and also Seal's voice is just so distinctive and so unique, and you immediately know, oh, that's Seal.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I love my Kiss from a Rose, Crazy, you know, killer Seal too.
Yeah. So next up, we have a very interesting entry. From Jane Lynch, featuring Kate Flannery from The Office. You might know her.
Which,
and Tim Davis.
I did not
know that. Oh, yeah. The redhead from The Office, Kate Flannery.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And Tim Davis with the Tony Guerrero Quintet.
Of course.
It's A Swingin' Little Christmas from their new holiday album of the same name. So let's take a listen.
Christmas will be ringing with the sound of the yule. The joint will be rocking with the rhythm of some holiday tunes. But maybe it wouldn't be a party if it didn't have you.
So, what do we think of Glee's Jane Lynch? Which you couldn't really hear her incredibly well in the mix, but she is singing on this track. She's harmonizing.
Yes.
But by the way, there are songs on this new album where you can hear her more clearly.
Yes.
And I think she actually has tour dates where her and Kate and Tim and maybe the quintet are all going out on tour together doing Christmas music, sort of like a little show review
thing.
I'm not really totally clear on what they do on stage, but there's some sort of musical review. Anyway, this particular track doesn't exactly showcase Jane's vocals, but what do we think of it?
I feel like in the tradition of all these other songs, everything is very evocative at the holiday season
sure.
of previous Christmas songs. This is so like Andrew Sisters. Like, it's got those harmonies. It's like, it's coming straight from like the 30s, 40s. Yeah, exactly. Which is fun, which is a super fun sound. But to your point, we couldn't really hear Jane that much.
Right.
But, you know, there are other songs where you can hear her much better on this album.
I love the way
album.
She gets top billing on this, even though you can't really hear her. I was like, okay, diva. Last up, it is Gwen Stefani teaming up with her good friend, Blake Shelton. On You Make It Feel Like Christmas. This track is actually credited to Gwen Stefani featuring Blake Shelton, and it is from Stefani's new holiday album of the same name. Let's take a listen. Okie doke. What do we think?
Well,
I wrote
one note on this one.
Oh, did you? Okay.
No, I really love Gwen and
Blake
as human beings. This one was not my cup of tea.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
What? So that was your note? It's not your cup of tea? What was your real note?
It just says woof.
Oh. Oh my. Normally Katie's not that opinionated.
I know. Let's have Keith share his thoughts, which are probably kinder.
So what I said was that it was an upbeat little number. It has a dash of Blake's country swing and twang. I thought it was interesting to kind of merge, like, you know, Gwen's kind of boop boop be doop ishness, you know, with his kind of swang. And I thought it actually kind of worked. It's hard to do songs like that where you're kind of blending two different styles, but I thought it was pretty catchy.
And they make it work in life, too.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, they do. As we were going through these earlier today and listening to them, we were actually listening to them here just in the office together, I told Katie that it seems like Christmas music in general kind of falls into four categories. You have the peppy pop stuff, like Kelly Clarkson, or Mariah Carey. You've got somber, you know, possibly religious tunes, or just sort of classically leaning things, like Josh Groban stuff, or, you know, I don't know, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, or, you know, name a choir, they're probably doing it, which is lovely, too, because it always, all those angelic voices just make you feel warm. I've got those albums at home. I actually bought two used records the other day at Amoeba, and I'm not even sure what's on them, but they're clearly like from the 50s or the 60s. They're like, you know, a bunch of choirs from Time Life or something. Don't know what's on it, but I know it's going to be good because you can't really go wrong. Third category is usually jazzy throwbacks, a la Jane Lynch.
Yes.
Or any number of Michael Bublé tracks.
Yes.
And then fourth, and I could be, if I'm missing a category, tweet us. Or, you know, whatever. The fourth category is usually a novelty category.
Yeah.
All I Want for Christmas is the Two Front Teeth, the Chipmunk song.
The hippopotamus thing.
Oh, yeah. Or, you know, you can even throw in Adam Sandler's Hanukkah song.
Christmas Shoes.
Christmas Shoes. Is that?
It's a very sad song.
But so I don't think it's a novelty track. Though. Well, that's okay. Probably meant to be serious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes.
I think that's why. Like that was actually a big like Christian hit. I think.
Well, is it then? It fits in the religious category instead. Yeah. The Christmas Shoes.
I was thinking more of like Christmas on Death Row.
Oh
like
yeah.
The Death Row Records Christmas or, compilation. Christmas in Hollis.
Yeah. Exactly. That's a great one.
I mean, not all rap Christmas songs have to be novelty, but it seems like. That's kind of the easy way
that
out.
That Christmas, you know, the Christmas rapping song by the Waitresses?
Oh, well, yeah.
Love so, that song.
That's a great one. And that seems like it veers into, like, that's weird.
That's just a good pop song.
That's weird because, like alternative new wave Christmas songs always seem like they're a bit novelty just because of kind of the sound of them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, whatever. I mean, Whatever.
However you slice that fruitcake, it's delicious.
Thank you. Thank you, Katie Punning Tackinson.
So, moving on from our new Christmas music, since this is our holiday spectacular, we thought we might reflect on some of our favorite holiday music-related memories.
Indeed, and honestly, I could listen to Christmas music year-round. I love that Alexa station, if you have Alexa, where it just plays Christmas classics. Alexa, can you play Christmas classics? Sure, and then... who knows for how many hours you're just listening to oldies, and I could just you turn that on and I'm instantly in a happy holidays mood.
Well, I have to share kind of a more recent Christmas music memory, or at least in the last decade. My husband's family, their big album is the Andy Williams Christmas album, which is a classic.
And that's what it's called, the Andy Williams Christmas album.
I don't know.
Weren't you supposed to look that up, Katie?
Yeah, I think I was. I didn't look up what the album
is
called.
Andy Williams is certainly a voice of the holidays.
Yeah, the
Go ahead. You keep looking. It's hard to beat those voices. You know, from the 50s and the 60s, that have sort of soundtracked so many generations, like Andy Williams.
It's called the Andy Williams Christmas album.
So you got it right. You got it right.
And I think his best known like Christmas song is probably It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year.
It's the most.
Yeah. The original classic version of that is Andy Williams.
Right.
But the one that I know best because of my husband's family, my in-laws, is Happy Holidays.
Happy Holidays. It sounds like, you know what that song sounds like? It sounds like on SNL when they have sort of the fake Lawrence Welk show.
Oh, I was going to say the Robert Goulet.
We're all in the same ballpark.
Yes,
here.
Exactly.
It's like it sounds like when those like the three or four sisters come out.
Yes.
And then there's always like some like, you know, the cheesy Kristen intro.
Wiig.
Like Happy Holidays. Happy Holidays.
Yeah. You know,
anyway. So Andy Williams.
It is, first of all, it's a great song. It's called Happy Holidays / The Holiday Season is the name of the song.
Okay.
And every Christmas morning, I don't know if this was a tradition before I came around, but it became a tradition the first year that I was with his family. We were sleeping like people do on Christmas morning, and all of a sudden that song starts playing like full volume in my ear. There's a speaker in the basement of their house right next to where the like guest bed is, and all of a sudden this song is playing at full blast, and I didn't know the song then. It's become my favorite song since like
so at the time you
moment.
Just thought some stranger was screaming in your ear about
exactly.
having a happy holiday.
It was Dan's parents' subtle way of waking us up on Christmas morning.
Subtle.
Like get up, it's sure. breakfast time, it's time to open presents, get upstairs.
It could have been worse. They could have played Quiet Riot or something.
But then it became the thing that they always play every Christmas morning, and it's like this delightful, you know, like little note that it's time for Christmas. It's time to get going on the presents. And this year I'll be bringing home my newborn son for his first Christmas, and he'll get to hear Andy Williams' Happy Holiday for the first time.
Indoctrinated into the Andy Williams wake-up club.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, I don't have a memory quite that vivid.
Okay. Well, this is from 10 years ago, so it's not, well, not I mean, hard to remember.
Strangely, I mean, I wish I did. The memory that I have, which is going to lead into our interview with Johnny Mathis, is related to him, and I kind of relayed some of it to him in the interview, mm-hmm. but this is the extended remix version. I remember at our house when I was younger, I don't remember how young I was, but it had to have been probably when I was like under 10. We had a big like stereo console thing. And for those of you who are young that don't know what a stereo is, it's like this big box-like object that sits in your living room, and it has speakers, and it can play music like a radio. On this thing, in the middle of it, because there's two speakers on the side.
It's like a piece of furniture.
It's like a huge piece of furniture, yeah. And it can sort of close up and look like a piece of furniture.
Yeah.
And then you can open up.
Is it a liquor cabinet? Is it a bookshelf?
Is there a body inside? Who knows? You literally pull down the middle of it, this big wooden thing with a handle, and out pops a turntable.
Yeah.
And I remember the holiday season, we would play Johnny Mathis's first Christmas album, which was simply called Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I can picture myself in the house, and I can hear Johnny's voice singing. And I can just picture the living room. I can picture the fireplace. I can picture the whole shebang. And I don't really remember any other Christmas music. I just remember his voice. And I don't know why that is. I think it's partially the reason why his music has been so successful. Because there's something about the tone of his voice, not just through Christmas music, but through pop music in general, that resonates with mm-hmm. people. And it sticks in your head. And it just cuts through.
It goes well with a burning fire, too.
Yeah, yes.
Which is perfectly Christmassy.
Yes, it does. So, now, after speaking about that, now it's time for our interview with the one and only Johnny Mathis. We spoke to the Billboard chart topper and Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award winner recently about his new 68 CD box set. I have a copy.
We have it right here in the office.
We're looking at it right now.
It's beautiful.
It's really enormous. It is quite beautiful. And it's each. If you order one, it's individually numbered and hand-signed.
Wow.
So the 68 CD box set, which is called The Voice of Romance, the Columbia Original Album Collection. And it includes every single one of his studio albums recorded for Columbia Records. And he's been on Columbia Records since the 50s, which is crazy. And he just put out a new album like a month or two ago. So yeah, he's still working.
Hmm.
And that box set includes two previously unreleased albums, one of which was produced by Nile Rodgers and Bernard Edwards of Chic. Amazingly, for some reason, they'd never released this until now. Crazy.
Hmm.
And the box also includes all five of his Christmas albums. Whew. Okay. So, and those Christmas albums include his first holiday set, which I mentioned a second ago, the 1958 album Merry Christmas, which has gone on to sell over 5 million copies in the U.S. Speaking of Christmas, since Mathis's holiday music is so beloved, we, of course, had to ask him about his Christmas tunes, why he thinks his Christmas music has been so popular, and we also discuss what holiday music he plays around the house during the season and what he'll be up to for the holidays. So, here's our chat with Johnny Mathis.
Are you listening in the lane? Snow is glistening. A beautiful sight. We're happy tonight. Walking in the winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird.
Welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast, Mr. Johnny Mathis. How are you doing, sir?
Well, I'm just fine, thank you. I'm dealing with the thing that probably people of my generation deal with. You're getting a little older, and you wonder about different things that happen, which are different from when you were growing up. And that's about it. Other than that, I'm just fine.
Well, you are ageless, frankly. So I'm thrilled to be speaking to you, and I'm also super happy that you're on this special episode of our show because it's a Christmas-themed episode. And, you know, who better to star in our Christmas episode than a man whose voice is heard in homes all around the world during the holidays, Johnny Mathis. So I'm going to be asking all about holiday stuff in just a bit. But first, I want to ask about your brand new box set, Johnny Mathis, The Voice of Romance. It's an enormous 68 CD box set that collects every one of your albums that you recorded for Columbia Records, along with two previously unreleased albums and another disc of rare recordings. And it has, I checked this, a runtime of about 47 and a half hours, but not too shabby. I think the box also doubles as a weapon. Now, whose idea was this? Did Sony and Columbia come to you and say, we've got this great idea, Johnny, what do you think?
There are a lot of things that happened to me over the years that I have no idea how it came about. And those are wonderful, and some, and most of them, I would say 99% of them, are all very surprising and very gratifying for someone like myself who was consider myself just a singer. But over the years, I have recorded so much music. And to know that it's not going to be forgotten, at least right now, is very, very thrilling for me. When they said they were going to release all of my recordings that I'd done, I said, you mean all of them? And I remembered sometimes when I was on the road singing at a venue, you maybe in China or in the Philippines or something of that nature, and I wasn't able to learn the songs that they wanted me to record. And yet I had to go in and record them. And I said, there were a lot of them that we said, oh, well, I didn't do that very well, so nobody will ever hear it, right? Yeah. And they said, oh, of course. But now we're going to hear all those things that I never thought would ever be presented. But anyway, hopefully... there might be some that the general public might get a kick out of seeing the process that I go through as far as making recordings is concerned.
I was watching the video that you posted a little while back where it was you and you had got the box set for the first time and you were opening the box, and it looked like you were kind of sort of surprised and a little sort of overwhelmed at how much there was inside that box. If you remember, what was your reaction when you saw the box in front of you for the first time? Because it's a big thing. It's a big, hefty box. There's just a lot of stuff in there. Did it seem like, wow, this is my entire career in a box in front of me? Like, what did you think?
Well, the first thing that came to my mind was, what a wonderful thing that it was that they got everything, essentially, that I have recorded in this tiny little box. And it was thrilling to see the different album covers on the little small recordings that they've miniaturized all of my big old LPs.
Yeah,
that was fascinating, and I didn't really wrap my head around some of it until I sort of flashed and said, oh, I remember standing in the garden taking that picture. I remember that, for instance, Roddy McDowell, a wonderful actor over the years, who's a friend of mine, photographed me for one of my album covers. And things like that flashed through my mind as I was looking at these little miniaturized versions of my LPs. And it was fascinating. Time passes and new things happen, and I'm just thrilled with the whole project.
Yeah, and you know what's great about the box is that there's more than 20 albums of yours that are on CD for the first time. And I think, you know, people, especially, collectors will be thrilled with this because it's really a way to show your entire catalog in one place, and it's all at the best audio quality. It's all been remastered, so it should sound beautiful. And what's also really fabulous about this box is that there's an unreleased album in there that I've been dying to hear in its proper form for a very long time. I Love My Lady, which you recorded back in 1981. It was written and produced by Nile Rodgers and Bernard Edwards, of course, of Chic. And I'm thrilled that this is finally coming out, and I have so many questions about it, and I have also a wonderful memory of getting to speak to you a few years ago at the Grammy Awards on the red carpet, and I asked you about it, and you were like, well, I don't know if it'll ever come out. Talk to the record label. And now here we are. It's finally coming out. What were those recording sessions like with Niall and Bernard back in 1981? Was it a wonderful experience? Did you enjoy it?
Very much so. I didn't know what they expected of me. I had my own way of recording, and this was quite different because they were right there in the studio with me, and I sort of did some of it piecemeal. They would say, sing it this way, and I would, and I'd do it the best I could. And of course, it always turned out to be a little different from what they asked me to do. So it was a wonderful experience for me as a singer, recording in that manner. I loved it because, first of all, what happened is once I sang it, they would put it together right then and there. And then when we would finish our session, I would go and probably have dinner or something like that, and they would come back to me and bring me everything that I recorded, but they would bring it to me as it was finished and ready to go on the recording already. They were that fast.
Wow.
In their, and so what usually would happen is that they would say, come on, we're going to get in the car, and we're going to drive to the restaurant where we're going to have dinner. And in the meantime, you're going to listen to what you've recorded in the car on the way to dinner. And it was just the most wonderful thrill to be able to hear that put together, because it takes a long time to record a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
And I do remember that as being one of the most gratifying times of my listening experience, listening to my own recording.
You know, I have a particular favorite song on the album, and I won't say, well, I'll say what it is. I really like Something to Sing About. It's so great to hear your voice with, like, up-tempo dance, you know, kind of disco-y but not quite disco music. It's just fun. I think it's a great pairing. Do you have any favorite songs from the album, or are they all your favorites?
Do you know that I have not heard that album in how many years, I guess?
Well, you can open up that box set, Johnny, and you can open it.
I don't
have it.
You know what happened is they gave me one box set, and I have this wonderful friend of mine, he and his wife, who are very, very close to my family, because I had a young brother, whom I loved dearly, Michael, was sick for many, many years in his life, and they took him into his into their home and treated his condition and made him part of their family. And the minute I got this recording, this box set of my recordings, the first people I wanted to thank were them. And I drove to their home and presented it to them and said, this is what I've been doing for the last 50 years. And they were just over the moon. So that, and I didn't even, once I picked it up and found out what was in it, I didn't have any qualms about giving it to them, because that would signify what I had been doing all of those years, that they had been taking care of my young little brother, and this is what I've done, and
right.
I want you to have it. Yeah. That was very gratifying for me. So to answer your question, I don't have those recordings, and I would love, I can't wait to see, you know, and have all these flashback memories of that recording and that recording and that recording. Yeah, looking forward to that.
I have the feeling you have the power and the influence to get another box set. I have the feeling you might be able to pull that off. you know, I think you've sort of answered this question before. you know, and we all know how this works in the recording business. Sometimes things don't work out, and sometimes, you know, especially today, people record lots of songs that never actually ever get released for whatever reason. It just is not the right time, or, you know, maybe you're not happy with how it turned out. Was there any particular reason why the Chic album, the I Love My Lady album, was never released, you know, back in 1981, 82?
Great big question mark mystery in my mind. Absolutely. I thought it was some of the best things that I'd done for that period of time when that music was de rigueur.
Yeah.
I just have this great big question mark, and I'm thrilled because over the years, I've been so happy because Niall shows up at some of my performances, and he's such a wonderful, wonderful, not only musician, but a person to be around. He has so much knowledge. He's been all over the place. And anyway, that is that's one of the overriding feelings that I have about this this project that they're going to do for me. It's just... It's a thrill. It really is.
Well, also inside this box set, as you know, again, we're doing a special Christmas episode of this show. Also inside the box set are all five of your Christmas albums. You've recorded five Christmas albums. I'll remind you of that, including your first Christmas album, which is called Merry Christmas, which was released back in 1958. Would you believe it? Which just doesn't seem possible. And that album has sold more than 5 million copies in the U.S. And I know you probably get asked this a lot, but why do you think your Christmas music has been so beloved and so successful? Because I can tell you, when I was little, your voice was heard around the house. We had your Merry Christmas album on vinyl LP, and I vividly remember playing it on our turntable. So why do you think it is that your voice and Christmas music go together like, you know, chocolate and peanut butter? Why is that?
I've always thought of myself as a little choir boy, because when I was in school, junior high school, grammar school, high school, I always belonged to a choir, and we sang all over the place. We would go out to the department stores and sing, and you know, for the people who were shopping. And before I finished my first recording, the thing that was in my mind is my mom and my dad, of course, was my best pal in the world. He was a singer. He is the reason that I sing today. He was a wonderful singer. Nobody ever heard him except the immediate family. But I always wanted him to realize how important he was to me in that aspect of our lives, is that I wanted to sing because he sang. And but my mom was off doing other things. She had no idea. She was not even capable of carrying a tune. So I wanted her to know what I was doing all of those times that I was singing all over the place, and she was home preparing food for, you know, my six brothers and sisters. And I always wanted to do whatever I could do at Christmas time, because that was the first time that I remember her ever hearing my music. It was at Christmas time, and commenting on it, because the rest of the time she was busy taking care of seven children, if you can imagine.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it's just sort of incredible how your Christmas music and your holiday music has been so beloved, and is really the soundtrack to so many people's, you know, get-togethers over the holidays. And I think it's just so special. You know, for you, do you play holiday music around the house? I mean, obviously not your own music, or maybe you do, but do you have particular favorites? You know, like, you know, people might say Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You, but, you know, to you, do you play certain kinds of, you know, special Christmas music around the house, some of your favorites?
It is such a blessing. I cannot tell you how thrilled that I am that people tend to enjoy my music at Christmas time. it's everything that you could ask for. I mean, those are the most special times in people's lives. And to think that that I am helping them enjoy their families and their situations that they're in at Christmas time is a dream come true. I listen to everything. I sometimes play some of my music because over the years I've recorded so much that, oh my goodness, I can't remember that. And then it jogs my mind. Oh, I remember now. I remember the musicians that were there. I remember the reason why I sang these songs, for instance, who suggested them, or whether I wanted to sing them in my heart of hearts. Yeah, I do. I listen to everything for all of my wonderful influences musically, Nat King Cole and Cyril Vaughan and Lena Horne and all these wonderful lady singers. I always loved girl singers because they could sing high and they could sing low.
Everybody loves the divas. Everybody loves
the
divas,
Johnny. Always had this one little aspect that they sang, Billy Eckstein and Nat Cole. They always sounded the same. But the ladies could go all over the place. And that's sort of vocally where I was coming from.
Yeah, by the way, Barbara Streisand recently in an interview with Billboard, not with me, but with someone here at Billboard that works with me, said that you're one of her favorite singers. So I would suggest this holiday season to put on Barbara's first Christmas album. It might be appropriate. And, you know, maybe you guys can get together for some more recordings. I don't know. I'm just trying to put it out there in the world. We'll see what happens.
I love it. She's a big influence in my life. Yeah. I love her very much.
Well, in closing, and I know I've kept you way longer than I anticipated, so I'm apologizing now before anyone gets upset. In closing, since we're coming up on the actual Christmas holiday, do you have any holiday and Christmas traditions? Like, do you cook a big meal? Do you go away for the holidays? Do you have a bunch of friends over? Is there something that you can share that's sort of a tradition for you around the holidays?
Over the years, I have had so many opportunities to, at Christmas time, show my appreciation to people who have been kind to me, or my friends, the people that I play golf with, or what have you. And yes, I love that opportunity. And at Christmas time now, at this age that I am, I'm so concerned and so the thing is, it's very important to me to be with the rest of my family that are still alive and well, and to show them how much I love them and how much they've meant to me over the years in my life. My brothers and sisters and I, we all grew up together, and I miss my mom and my dad so much. I miss my three brothers and sisters who have passed away. So I spend as much time as I can showing my appreciation to my brothers and sisters, because they were all my supporters right from the beginning. Since I was a little kid, they all said, oh, we're going to go watch John sing, you know, and I always remember that.
Well, I wish you nothing but the best this holiday season. I know I'll be playing you around the house, and I know a lot of other people will be too, all around the world. And this has been such a treat to get to speak to you, and I hope you have a lovely Christmas and a wonderful New Year, and wonderful wishes for 2018 and beyond, Mr. Mathis.
Oh, bless your heart, Keith. Thank you so much. It's nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
Let's take that road before us and sing a chorus or two. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. There's a birthday party.
Thank you again to an honest-to-goodness real-life legend, Johnny Mathis, for taking the time to call in and chat. It was such a little thrill.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when I got to, I may have mentioned this in the interview, I forget, even though you just heard it. I remember at the Grammy Awards, like 2 or 3 years ago, I was doing the carpet with Jason, who you've heard on this show before. And a publicist came up and was like, would you like to speak to Johnny Mathis? And another gentleman who was, I think, his arranger or producer, because he was nominated that year for traditional pop vocal album. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yes, of course. And I'm like, Jason, do you mind? And he's like, this one's all you. And he didn't mean it in that way, but it's just like, he knew.
He didn't have the personal connection that you do.
And I was just like so tickled to talk to like someone whose voice I had sort of grown up with.
Yeah.
And also it's like, chances are too much, too little, too late.
No, this job is amazing in that way.
Yeah, we were very fortunate in our gigs. All right, now it's time for the chart stat of the week.
Woohoo!
This week, Mariah Carey's evergreen classic holiday hit, All I Want for Christmas Is You, finally hits the top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart 23 years after it was first released back in 1994. The song jumps from number 11 to number 9 on the chart dated December 30th, granting Carey her 28th top 10 hit. So, why did it take so long for such a popular track to finally reach the top 10? Luckily, I have answers for you. Back in 1994, the song was released as part of Carey's Merry Christmas album. The song was promoted to radio and video stations. There's a music video for it. She's in the snow, and there's a snowman, and it's delightful. But the song was never released as a commercially available single. You couldn't buy it as a CD single or a cassette single, and this was pre-digital, so there was no iTunes yet. So that means you couldn't actually buy the song on its own. The only way to get it was to actually buy the full album. And because it wasn't released as a commercially available single, it was not allowed to chart on the Hot 100 at the time. In late 1998, however, the Hot 100's rules changed to allow for non-commercially available songs to chart. And in January of 2000, it spent a week on the list at number 83. And beginning in 2012, and coinciding with the Hot 100 adding streaming into its mix, All I Want for Christmas Is You has made a return visit to the list each season. And just to clarify, the Hot 100 not only includes streaming, but also airplay and sales into its mix. And another thing, back when Mariah did this in 1994, it wasn't super unusual that you would have a song not be available as its own single, like to buy, but it still kind of was a little unusual. It didn't become kind of a regular, like a regular thing until like 96, 97, when there were a lot of hits that just bypassed, you know, being released as a commercially available single. But I digress. Back to Mariah. This week, as it climbs in the top 10, a whopping 70% of the song's Hot 100 chart points are driven by streams. Clearly, there are a lot of people bumping the track around the house as they get into the holiday spirit. So, there you have it. Mariah Carey's classic holiday hit, All I Want for Christmas Is You, has finally, 23 years after its release, hit the top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Okie dokie, so we have reached the end of our holiday spectacular.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Just leave a peppermint stick for old Saint Nick hanging on the Christmas tree.
That falls into the jazzy category. Do, 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 do. This will be our last episode of 2017. You guys will join us hopefully again at the top of 2018.
Yes. I'm glad I got to start out and close out the year, yes. Even though I missed a few months in between.
We thank, of course, Jason for stepping in while Katie was having a child.
Yes. Well, I was a little busy.
You were busy, preoccupied with something else. What song should we go out on our final show of 2017?
What Christmas song have we not mentioned that is amazing that we need to play?
Why don't we do Madonna's Santa Baby?
Let's do it.
See you guys next year.
Bye.
Under the tree for me. Being an awful good girl, Santa Baby. I'm hurried down the chimney tonight.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.